In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Heaven forfend, we should offend the micro-bloggers. Don't know where that's come from.
Where has this come from?
I don't know, but it's Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore, and it's the Luke and Pete Show. It's what we do every single Monday. It's what we do every single Thursday. And we have a lovely time every single time.
Yeah.
Back
yeah,
again.
We do.
You're wearing a lovely cardigan.
Thank you very much.
I love a bit of the cardigan game. Look what's happened to mine there.
Oh yeah, that looks quite convenient though. Put your thumb through that little hole.
Fucking moths, mother! But not even pantry moths. Just my house is one big pantry.
I think I've
for the moths.
Am I alone in never ever having had a moth eat through any of my clothes?
Insanity.
It's never happened once.
I didn't even know
it was a thing until very recently.
Throw one at you.
I reckon I've spent my life giving off some kind of pheromone
that upsets the moths.
Yeah, can happen because some people don't get bitten by mosquitoes, for example.
Is that true?
Some people just don't get it.
I get absolutely ravaged by them every time I don't go to a lot of places that have mosquitoes, mind.
And isn't there a small area in a part of Italy that is almost entirely immune to heart disease?
Where's that come from?
No, I think there is because it's something to do with their diet over many years, many generations. They've kind of
their genes. Are they kind of interbreeding?
Maybe. I don't think so. I thought I'd start this week. We don't really do this at all, let alone very often.
Right.
By reading out some of our reviews on iTunes.
Oh. Do you want to start 2020 proper?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5 out of 5 in a row.
Wow.
Samba 81288, I like you both. Julian Assange says, oh yeah. G Holland says, thanks for the pod. Deco 22, ramblings and nonsense, love it. A podcast for me.
Cool.
Mr. Evans says, fantastic show, listened since day one and thought only fair to give this pod the 5 stars and extra exposure it deserves. Anthony Peacock says, great listen, informative and very funny. And Rob says, I like your work, lads. Keep it coming. 10 out of 10 pod for 2020.
Are you trying to get more people to review us?
Well, I just think that it does help. It's a cyclical, multiple rewarding sort of ecosystem, isn't it? We ask them, we provide a show for them for free.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to do it. Enjoy doing it.
Yep.
They then listen. Great. Appreciate it. Give us a review. We'll then read your reviews out. You'll like us more. You'll listen more. Everyone's happy.
Mm.
Everyone's happy.
I just worry
apart from
that
the people who listen but hate it. Which, because there are a lot of people out there who listen to shows they don't like very much.
I don't think they do. I think they listen to bits of it and then kind of pile in. I don't know why you would spend a full half an hour, sometimes 25 minutes, listening to something you can't stand Monday and Thursday.
I think you'd
be surprised.
But
there are some interesting people out there.
Yeah. There are a large part. If you do anything online, create anything online, there are a large part, if you're successful in doing it, there are large parts of the internet that hate you.
Mm.
It's weird. I don't really get it. I don't really get the mindset, my friend.
I've never committed to, as you get older, you get a little less angry, a little less kind of like resentful for other people's success. But as I get older, I just don't tend to care less. I've certainly never reviewed anything harshly.
No, I haven't.
What's the point? You're just shouting into a void.
I probably have done it when I was younger. Mm. Probably got pissed off. I'm probably just as bad as everyone else. What's your mindset for 2020, Pete?
I've got no plans, to be honest. I was talking about this over Christmas. Like, I'm quite happy. I just want to remain this happy, if not happier. If it dips below What I experienced in 2019, though, I'm going to be really annoyed.
What are you out of 10 at the moment for happiness?
I'm an 8. I'm enjoying 8? The spoils of war.
Okay, and what,
and it has been a war.
For now, we toast.
Yeah.
What? But what are you? What would it have to dip below for you to start taking affirmative action? 6.
6. Yeah. 6.
And what's the happiest you've ever been?
Honestly, last year was good. Last year was good. It may surprise you because you see me as a dour, upset chap, but I'm quite into what I'm doing at the moment.
I don't see you as a dour, upset chap. I see that you've got a northern sensibility, which I've learned to love over the years, but I feel like you're the kind of guy who at any point could flip and be unhappy. You're a finely tuned athlete.
I do think of the worst situation that could possibly happen. Yeah. I worry quite a lot.
You're an emotional racehorse.
Yeah,
you're so finely tuned. One tiny little mental fibre goes out of sync. Out,
yeah, I'm still having.
I have to take you around the back of the street in the
I'm
head.
Still having. Please don't. I'm still having radio DJ dreams.
Go on.
Stop being a radio DJ. Middle of literally Christmas Day was my last pre-recorded show, and I'm still having like dreams, like those DJ anxiety dreams where you get to a studio and nothing works and everyone's waiting for you to talk and you can't talk or you've forgotten what you're going
to
say.
Right.
I mean, very much like...
That happens to me in real life.
Yeah. I listened to you actually over Christmas. Very good. Very enjoyable.
Thanks.
Very enjoyable.
Cheers, pal.
You and Max.
Oh, yeah.
Together at last. Nuts and gum.
That was a good
they
show.
Said it couldn't be done.
That was a good show. Max is good. I like him. He's good. Yeah. He's fun. He's a fun broadcaster because he realises and remembers that...
people are listening.
Yeah, there's two things. One, is actually a listener. Mm. And two, that he's actually quite a cheerful mindset kind of guy. So he's up for doing stuff.
Yeah, I listened to him and Barry Glendon yesterday on Talkspot.
They're good together as well.
They're good.
Max should be, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, not the opinion of anyone else. I think Max should have a more regular spot on that station, personally.
Cool.
But there you go.
Lobby.
Can't all get what you want. I think I should as well.
Yeah. Who's in front of each other in the queue? Is he in front of you in the queue?
Well, you know what it's like, Pete, in this industry? Everyone's jostling for everything. And I think because I've got a situation where my primary focus and the thing I love doing the most is working with you guys.
That's a fucking lie.
It says it here. Because it says down here.
Because of the unique way that North Norfolk Digital is funded.
Yeah. Because we are London's best music, North London's best music mix. I see TalkSport as something that I'm interested in to pursue, to work really hard to get better at, and to hopefully be successful in,
be an asset.
And I'm not kind of downplaying how important it is. I do love it, and I'm always there early, and I'm always giving it my all. But I don't have the pressure of knowing it's my only job.
Right. Okay,
so I think for a lot of people, it's kind of they're jostling for position.
Same with a lot of radio, to be honest. Like people only have that, and if you've got another couple of things going on, it makes it a lot less fraught with danger and worry.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think it means it frees you up and makes you more flexible, do your best work. But changing the subject ever so slightly, I treated myself and my lovely wife to tickets to Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah?
In the summer.
I nearly did the film version of... Because she did go about at school.
Oh, yeah?
I did an impression of a person, and then I realised it had a big old N-word in the middle of it. Yeah,
yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
It apparently was really well received in the US on Broadway. Mm. It's an Aaron Sorkin adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's got to be excellent book, excellent film. Adapted by Aaron Sorkin, that is a recipe for success.
And the Atticus Finch is being played by Reese Ifans.
I'm off the boat again.
For fuck's sake. Do you even know who Reese Ifans is?
Yeah, he's the Welsh bloke who was in Love Actually.
He's probably
whatever the
him.
One. He's. I saw him in a bar once with his girlfriend, wife, right. Beth Jordash.
Is that what he calls her? His girlfriend, wife?
Girlfriend
this
wife.
Is my girlfriend, wife.
Beth Jordash. And she, and there was
Anna Friel.
Anna Friel. And he was playing, somebody was playing the piano and she was singing in that actory way that, hey, look at me, everyone, I'm singing!
Don't like that.
Da-da! And he was sat there looking a bit downhill.
First lesbian kiss on television.
What, mean you?
let's do it now.
I used to watch a lot of Brookside Drama at that time.
It's a good show.
They put first lesbian kiss, and then, was that before or after, no spoilers, they killed their dad.
No spoilers, it was in 1992. yes, I think it was around the same time, wasn't it? Brookside, to me, I might be misremembering this.
Misremembering
but,
that.
It was kind of a hard-hitting, interesting
It was, yeah, Channel 4, pure Channel 4, where they were pushing boundaries. Mm.
I'm one of those people who's so like...
Claire Sweeney was in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Jimmy Corkill. Do you remember Jimmy Corkill?
Yeah, he was great.
What happened to him?
He had this dog, Cracker. Cracker. Come on, Cracker.
Tin Ed.
Tin Ed was in...
Was he in something else?
Hollyoaks.
Was he in Hollyoaks?
Yeah.
I'm Going Nowhere.
Oh, he might have been in Brookside, but he was called Tin Ed in Hollyoaks.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you spend a lot of time watching Channel 4? Is that your most watched channel, would you say?
I like a bit of Come Down With Me. So is that's on More 4, isn't it? So... These days. At any point during the day, you can turn on...
It's canon. It's Channel 4 canon.
A Channel 4 derivative, and you can watch Come Down With Me. I watched it on yesterday while I was on my tea, and fucking hell, there was a rude man on there.
Oh, yeah.
This rude kind of like camp gentleman who would not stop just being unreasonably rude. Like, kind of, he sort of went, all right, I'm going to go all in. I've grown up and all of my heroes have been, presumably like his gay icons will have been quite bitchy and quite, that kind of stereotype that you saw quite a lot in the 80s and the 90s. Mm. And he's kind of taken it on wholesale and he's just a twat to everyone.
Yeah.
Incredible. And he's just been really horrible.
We all know, Pete, the best ever Come Down With Me episode, don't we?
What is it? I'm trying to think.
Can I play it now?
Yeah.
In fourth place... is me.
Oh. I don't know why you're shaking your head at me.
You won, Jane.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy the money. I hope it makes you very happy. Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane. You ruined my night completely so you could have the money, but I hope now you spend it on getting some lessons in grace and decorum. Because you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck without any tyres on.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. For those of you who don't know what Come Down With Me is, can there be anyone out there who doesn't know what it is?
Probably not.
Is it a format overseas as well?
Why haven't they brought it into America, though? Like, why haven't they got that kind of format?
For those who don't know, it's like an episode every week for five people, and they each take it in turns to do a dinner party for the other contestants. They all vote independently and anonymously, and at the end it's unveiled who wins £1,000. Mm. And that guy took it quite badly, safe to say. But I would say, Pete, the real star of the More 4 stable, for me, is Four in a Bed, which is the same, but with B&Bs.
Oh, it's just people running their fingers over the top of four-poster beds and gone, I've not dusted up here. Why doesn't everybody just dust everything? They know the cameras are going to be there. They know the other people are going to be rating them on how dusty the place is. Get a fucking feather duster out. Awful.
I saw a guy on that show go into the ensuite bathroom and run his finger around the underside of the toilet room.
That's disgusting. And go, that is
it's a bit dirty, that. It's a fucking toilet, mate. What do you expect?
It's a dirt box, mate. It's a fucking dirt box.
It's funny, though, because sometimes they have... what they'll do to mix it up is they'll put a couple in there who run a B&B in quotes,
right.
But it's actually like...
Swingers.
A glamorous... No! They're Billy Bollocks the whole time. It's like a glamorous camping site that isn't actually that glamorous.
Right.
And all the people who run B&Bs are really snobby about camping, so they don't want to do it because they run a B&B.
I love the picking order of hoteliers versus campers.
We've talked about this before, but I'm a B&B fan. You're not, are you? You prefer an Airbnb.
Don't like to be waited on. I like to be...
Punished?
Punished. I like to do everything myself.
Speaking of which, was your dad punished for coming back to the house with that multi-pack of crisps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw my dad quite a lot over the Christmas period and he was as mad as ever.
Time for family, isn't it?
Time for family.
For those who haven't seen... You shared. Four days is always enough.
Yeah.
You shared, not with your family, but in fact with families in general, you shared a picture of your dad coming back into the house with a massive box of crisps and your mum looking very upset about it.
My mum had sent her dad out for a couple of bags of crisps and he came back with what can only be described as an industrial-sized box of crisps.
And what happened then?
It was just a lovely moment. Like, my dad going, oh, and looking quite down at heel and quite sad.
Yeah.
My mum looking quite angry at him.
Presumably they'll keep, but they'll last a long time.
They'll keep, yeah. I'm sure they'll get eaten at some point.
Stick them in the courtyard?
I had a go. I'm a gannet. Yeah. Okay, stick them in the courtyard. Yeah, the courtyard was full of food and drinks and treats and potatoes and stuff like that. Actually, the potatoes this year were very good. I've complained on more than one occasion that my mother's
roast potatoes
are dreadful. They were all right this year because they were pre-cooked McCain.
You're joking.
I know.
Dear.
Look, you can't be told. She can't be told.
Speaking of gannets, went to a friend of mine the other day. And he's got this thing going on with his kids that whenever he sees a dead animal, He buries it in the back garden. He takes it with him, buries it in the back garden, waits for it to decompose into skeletons, digs it up again, and shows his kids what the bones look like and the jawbone and the skull and everything. And he cleans it up and then puts it on the mantelpiece.
That is, it's not prime dad behaviour, but it's quite dad behaviour. It's something I would do. You get excited about something and no one at any point grabs you by the arm and goes, this is disgusting, Peter, stop this.
He's quite a cool metal dad.
Metal
he said
dad.
He always says his ambition is to be the most metal dad. And that is quite a metal thing to do. But his kids love it. You've got two boys. They're about 10 and 12, something like that.
I've wrote down a couple of things. Me and my dad had a drink on Christmas Day. It was really nice. I don't get a drink with my dad very often. We played a couple of games of pool. He hammered me, being a pretty good pool player.
Does the local pub open for like a couple of hours on Christmas Day then?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the range of dogs and people. Gillen's down around the corner from my mom and dad's house in Woodstock Way.
Nice. Shout out to them.
Shout out to the Woodstock Ways.
How much was it a pint?
I think like Doombar was like only like it was only like $1.99 or something for the cheapest beers.
God,
brilliant!
Yeah,
bloody
amazing.
Brilliant. But I was chatting to my dad. We got a bit pissed, so I learned a few things about my dad's family. Obviously, we don't talk about them. I don't know anything about them. So I learned a little bit about my dad's family. My dad's brother Raf, bit of a wrong'un. He's the reason why we don't see any of his side of the family.
Right.
He got into a fight with a man. He got his jaw broken by the man, and then he had his jaw wired shut, and he was sick of drinking, just liquids and soup and all that kind of stuff. And my dad said one of his defining moments was watching his brother with the pliers undo all of his jaw wiring and pull it out with a pair of pliers so he could go back and fight the man.
Wow.
But luckily the man was away on an oil rig.
the only natural way that story could have ended was with the word oil rig.
And one of the other reasons why my dad doesn't want to see his brother, his late brother now, was because he'd killed his rabbit, his tortoise and his hamster.
My God.
What a prolific animal murderer.
What an unholy trinity that is.
So that was good. And then me and my dad had an argument, a rather boozy argument on Christmas Day, where I suggested that possibly getting up at 2 a.m. Was not good for your health, was not good for his health. And he said, I get up at 2 o'clock because my knee is killing me. I said, well, just adjust your sleeping patterns so that you get up at 6 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. My dad said, no, it always gets me up at 2 o'clock. And I said, your knee is not an atomic clock, Dad. It doesn't know what time it is. So that was the tenor of my argument. We had a big old...
It's the most wonderful time.
Fucking hell. Like, just so, you know... Ugh.
Should we do some emails?
Should we head to an ad break? Before we get the ad break, as a way of sweeper, I'm going to play this piece of music. It is a man, and it is a man, playing the Inspector Gadget theme tune on a church organ.
Love it.
It's great.
Wow, that sounds brilliant.
This bit played by his feet.
Fuck, that's brilliant.
It's good, isn't it? And the final chorus. Verse.
That is so fucking good.
All on the feet. And we'll be back in a second with all of that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back.
Hello.
It's a little Pete Shaw.
That was so good, that Inspector. I know we've had a little ad break, but I'm still not over it.
It's good, isn't it?
What's so good about it is the instrument lends itself to the piece of music so well, but also he's doing all that stuff on his own. Feet going, hands going at the same time.
All of the bass notes are all on the feet. So well done, that man. And you're a recent pianist, yeah, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so you must appreciate how good that is.
I appreciate it. More than I ever would ever.
Mate, I appreciate it.
Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address.
Not making a jingle, mate.
We built up some good emails over the Christmas period while Pete was away, and so there are a good few to get through. So let's start with one from Alex. Alex has got in touch to say, hello chaps, sending this email from sunny Miami over the Christmas period. On a recent episode, Pete asked if any UK gladiators had gone over to the wrestling business.
Got a few emails about this, and a personal friend messaged me as well.
Oh, very nice. Not a gladiator from the original series, but Oblivion from the Sky One reboot became a wrestler for both Impact Wrestling and is now NWA champion.
Good level.
Love the show, Alex.
I think NWA is the oldest wrestling business. I think that might be the case. It's the one that Billy Corgan bought.
Well, it confused me because I didn't know what it was, and the only thing I know about NWA is coming straight out of Compton.
Well, they may have done a show in Compton. I don't know. Mm. I just don't know. Yes, it is. That's the email address. Hello to, who have we got here? Cobra's wife had a women's hairdresser salon in Belvedere, southeast London. On many an occasion, my mum would be having her hair done, only to see Cobra in there having his highlights done whilst fully decked out in Lycra. He is also extremely confident, often helped by alcohol.
You just described everyone.
When using the zebra crossing outside the salon and didn't want to didn't wait to check that the car's plan on stopping for him before he started crossing, which led to a few near misses. Ian Wilson, a man who is enjoying life.
It sounds like it.
Why not? With his memories of gladiators. Boozy gladiators stopping traffic.
I've got a gladiator story here where literally none of the protagonists can be named.
Oh.
But I'm going to read it anyway, and I'm going to be very careful not to name anyone. And it's from Dave.
Okay, Dave.
That sounds made up, but it is actually from Dave. All right, chaps, listening to your recent gladiator chat reminded me that when I was a young pup, my dad came home from work with signed pictures of the gladiators 1 and 2. I'm not naming them, obviously. A big score when you're 8 years old. While back over Christmas, I brought this up during a lulling conversation, and my father seemed to remember obtaining the autographs quite well. Now, you might be asking what line of work my dad was in to receive such bounty, and this is where the tale takes a slightly sinister twist. At the time, my old man was working in the drug squad for Merseyside Police. According to him, there was an ongoing issue with a nightclub on the outskirts of Liverpool selling copious amounts of narcotics, and so it was raided. This particular night, one was on the premises, reportedly in the company of several men who were in possession of a large amount of cocaine, steroids and cash. The group of men, including Gladiator Number One, were all arrested and taken to Copy Lane Station. My dad, who is an avid Liverpool fan, said he remembers this clearly, as he also arrested another Liverpool player that I can't name that night, who's part of the group. I have to say, the thought of one and two, fighting it out with pugil sticks, brought a smile to my face. Anyway, they were all released without charge and off they went. Several of their companions were not so lucky.
Rush.
Yeah, I don't know. Several of their companions were not so lucky and were actually sent down for their troubles. The next night, my dad arrived back at work and was told that Gladiator Number One had come back to the station the next day, acting very sheepishly and apologising for any inconvenience he may have caused. He apparently wanted to confirm that as far as he was concerned, the matter was closed, but more importantly to him, the arrest would remain confidential. In a bold attempt to sweeten the deal, he brought along a pile of signed photos of himself to hand out to the drug squad and any other police officers who were fans. He obviously realised this might not be the sweetener that everyone wanted, so he also brought in a stack of signed...
steroids. Nandrolone.
A signed pile of photos from another, perhaps more attractive gladiator as well. I was using his name then. I was got right to the end. Not quite sure what he was doing with a boot full of other photos, but fair play to him for recognising his audience. I'll be very surprised if this got read out, but I hope it at least raises a smile.
We could still wear a Jets bras if you want.
Where's that come from?
I'm just saying he's making a plea bargain.
Don't name any of them in conjunction to this.
I'm not saying Jet was involved. Was Jet involved?
Speaking of Jet,
the picture.
And she come out massively as Brexit.
Oh, I don't know.
Is it her?
She's from Middlesbrough. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know that part of the world better than me, mate.
You ain't going to buy a new transporter bridge without some EU money, so... They were talking about, I was really enjoying the Hartlepool Facebook pages over Christmas. I kept on putting stupid pictures on them because I'm dead inside. And there was a woman who was like going on about there needs to be, between Middlesbrough and somewhere else, there needs to be a hovercraft service. And I was thinking, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to do that.
There's a hovercraft museum in Gosport.
Oh, right, yeah.
You've
got two hovercrafts. Big licks for a...
No, because the hovercraft goes from Portsmouth.
Right.
So over the other side of the harbour.
Yeah.
But I think when they're taken out of commission, they come to Gosport and there's a hovercraft museum. It's only open a couple of days a week.
How many could they possibly
have? My dad loves it. It's got about five in there.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Different types.
Yeah, different types.
Yeah.
Those ones you see in the Everglades or in the bayou.
Those big
little
ones. Yeah. You know that those kind of local Facebook groups for different areas are really fascinating. So the one where I live in London is quite an interesting place to get local information.
Yep.
There was a horrendous crime up the end of my road on New Year's Eve.
Cool.
So it's good to get information from on that, to find out what's happening, whether we could actually, you know, live peacefully again. and other bits and pieces, because it's quite a dynamic area where stuff, new shops open up and other things happen. Not dynamic necessarily in a good way, but there's always things going on is what I'm trying to say. The one in where I'm from, Gosport, it's basically just people reminiscing about the war.
And things
that aren't there anymore.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same in Hartlepool, because obviously we come from two big shipbuilding towns, you'd presume.
Yeah.
And we were bombed heavily in the war. I don't know about...
Gosport was.
So there's a lot of... There aren't that many buildings standing from the war in Hartlepool, because, you know, we're just absolutely ravaged.
Some of the streets in Gosport, Pete, if it's on a hill, you stand at the top of the hill, look down the road.
Yeah.
And you can see exactly where the bombs have hit because there's different type houses built in their place.
Right, okay.
So you can actually chart the map of where the bombs went.
Yeah. There's one mosque in Hartlepool.
Which is what people do on the Facebook group every day.
just a lot of poppy, like around about Remembrance Day, it is poppy heaven on the Hartlepool pages. Yeah. This isn't, you know, two sniffy middle-class men who now live in London laughing at their hometown. But, you know, we have to hear about these people.
I'm very proud of where I'm from. I'm just noting the differences.
But yeah. But there's a lot of people in my life who have that mentality, who they're just obsessed with the war and they can't let it go.
Yeah.
Even though none of them fought in it. Farhan Ali on the Hartlepool page. Happy New Year to everyone from the Nazir Mosque in Hartlepool. We've got one mosque.
Right.
It was recently mentioned in the is it the Brexit Party? Yeah, the Brexit Party had a bit of a stronghold. That Tice chap wanted to get the seat at Hartlepool. I think it remained Labour, though. I went back to Labour anyway. They interviewed on hidden camera. I think Channel 4 Dispatches maybe did it. They interviewed a man who said he'd buried a pig's head out in the cement at the mosque.
But was he lying? Just trying to show off? Or
he's just a bit of a dick, a local dickhead. So we've got one mosque, and it's that one. Today the members of Nazir Mosque at Hartlepool celebrate New Year with special prayers in the morning and then did litter picking in Hartlepool. We hope and pray this year brings peace, happiness and joy for everyone. Beautiful, like a lot of people have got the church, we've got the mosque outside with litter bags and stuff like that. 180 comments.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even going to click on that.
No.
I did. Everyone was very lovely about it apart from one man who's very angry he wasn't invited.
Oh, really? Why am I involved?
He was so angry. He was like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't I get an invite to the mosque? And why didn't I get an invite to doing the litter picking?
That's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not a Muslim, so, I mean, you'd hear about it if you went to the mosque.
A classic of the genre is that amazing. Remember the EDL? Are they still a thing? English Defence League?
Yeah, probably. Aren't they all the young Proud Boys or the Young Boys or something?
Yeah, anyway, they posted a photo on one of their groups and the little album was called St George March for England.
Right.
Someone posted a picture on it and the comments on, there's a load of comments underneath, but I'll read a couple of the highlights. Would look lovely in Saudi Arabia. Where is this? This is on one of the main roads down the front in Brighton. So that mosque is in Britain. Jesus Christ, the size on it. And that's not even half of it. Turned out to be Brighton Pavilion. So it's just got a lot of turrets in it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
They thought it was a super mosque. They're marching against
super
it.
Super mosque.
That's what you're dealing with.
Fantastic.
Yeah. On that note, I was going to say bombshell then. Maybe I can still say that. On that bombshell.
Luke.
That's our half hour up.
We're off to pick some litter.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's pick up. Let's be nice to our community.
You just reminded me, I've got to have a word with Lars Sivertsen for leaving the dirty coffee cup in this studio last week.
Dirty Lars Sivertsen.
Dirty boy.
Do we know anyone at Watford Football Club? Luke, there is a hotelier in Japan that took me out for a meal with the mayor in a really...
Where's this come from? Before we're finishing the show.
Because I was on Facebook and he messaged me. Remember I went on Japanese radio a long time ago, in a remote location in North Japan. Well, the hotelier who owned the hotel took me out for a meal actually had the mayor involved as well. So we had a lovely meal. He paid for it all, the hotelier, the manager. And now he's in London a few weeks' time and he wants to go and watch Watford versus Liverpool and he can't get tickets. And so I'm like, I only know how to buy tickets for Newcastle. I don't know how to, like, they're all sold out. What do I do?
I'll make a couple of inquiries. Let him down gently.
We've got Troy Deeney's number.
Let him down gently. I'll make a couple of inquiries. Yeah. All right.
It's hard, isn't it, being nice?
I'll speak to Dougie.
Who's Dougie?
He's a friend of mine. He's well connected.
Is he?
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Dougie Fresh.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
See you on Thursday, everyone.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.